Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf 8a, that's Daf Chet Amud Aleph. We are at the Mishnah about halfway, or just a little more than halfway down the page. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. What we've been discussing are things that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. And in our previous Mishnah, we gave the lenient opinion of Rabbi Meir that Kohen could go look at a skin affliction called sarat, like leprosy, and if it was good news, in which, like that he was tahor, he was allowed to deliver the good news because then he would stay happy on the holiday. And if it was bad news, he would be quiet and he wouldn't say anything because we didn't want to ruin his happiness on the holiday. So we have a similar teaching here in the name of Rabbi Meir. Ve'oda mar Rabbi Meir. And moreover, Rabbi Meir said, "Milaket adam atzamot aviv imo." A person may collect the bones of his father and his mother, mipnei shesimcha hilo, because it is a simcha; it's an act of joy for him to be able to do this. Now we have to understand why that would be. Ordinarily, burying your father and your mother is a very sad occasion, and as we'll see, it's possible that there's an element of sadness to this as well. But in the ancient burial practices, there were two stages of burial, and the first stage was a burial in some kind of a crypt. And then after the body had, all of the flesh had gone away, and it was just a skeleton that remained, they would disinter the bones and reinter them in some kind of an above-ground crypt. So I guess the first kind, we'll see them, they're called kuchin. They're like in the ground, like shelves where they put the bodies, and then later on they put them in kvarot, which are above ground things. So this is talking about the second stage, and there is a certain amount of happiness or satisfaction that his parents have been properly buried in the family grave. And since it's not usually so close to the time of their death, the sadness perhaps is diminished, and there's actually more of a satisfaction that the burial is complete. So in that case, since it is not something that's very sad, you could do it on the holiday. It won't ruin your holiday happiness. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Aval hulo lo ya'orer adam al meto. But there are things that he cannot do. Although he can reinter the bones, he may not hire someone to arouse sympathy and sobbing. They had people that would work the relatives up or the crowd up. They would go around and try to get people to cry with them. So he's not allowed to do that because that will cause public mourning, which will ruin the holiday. Veloya spidenu, and he also may not eulogize him, kodem loregel shloshim yom, not just on the holiday, but even before the holiday for 30 days in that period of preparation for the holiday, he should not be eulogized. Okay, let's go to the Gemara. Gemara, Urminu. Gemara brings the contradiction. Hamalaket atzamot aviv imo, if he's gathering the bones of his father and his mother in order to reinter them, that's the second stage of the burial process. Harizem mit abel alehem kol hayom, then he is in mourning on them for the whole day. V'lo erev ein mitabel alehem. But in the nighttime, he doesn't mourn for them. So our entire mourning procedure, in which we mourn for 7 days, is not 100% required by the Torah. Biblical mourning is really only one day. It's the first day. So while ordinarily when we mourn for our loved ones, we do mourn for 7 days for Shiva, in this case where he's already sat Shiva for them and he's just reinterring their bones, we had a sort of, there's a rabbinic add-on that the day in which he reinterns the bones, he should still engage in, he should treat that day as if it's a day of Shiva, at least during the daytime. So according to this opinion, it is an act of mourning to reinter the bones. You're actually considered like an avel at the time when you reinter the bones. And we had argued before in the Mishnah that it was a simcha, that it was something, an act of happiness to reinter the bones. So there's clearly a contradiction here. If it's an act of happiness, then it doesn't get in the way of the holiday, of the festival. But if it's an act of mourning and sadness, that clearly is a problem with the festival. The Amar of Chista, and Rav Chista says further, afilu tsrurin lo besadino, even if the bones are wrapped up in his cloak. So Rashi explains that that means that it's less visceral because you don't actually see the bones. It's just a package. So it's less visceral. Nonetheless, we still have this. Amar Abai. So Abai tries to explain what the explanation for this might be. Ema, I could say, mipneisha simchas haregel alav, that since he is in the festival already, and the simcha of being in the festival is there, so then the ordinary mourning and sadness that he would feel doesn't apply. In other words, ordinarily, during a weekday, if he was reinterring his parents' bones, he would act like a mourner for that day. But in this case, where it's already a festival, we say that never even gets off the ground, and he never has to act as a mourner. So the establishment of the festival rejoicing blocks the mourning. Now, that's speaking on a legal level, not on a psychological level. It's unclear whether or not the Mishnah was referring to a psychological level or not, that when he reinters his parents' bones, is there a sense of joy and satisfaction or a sense of sadness? It would seem to me to be a sadness, but in which case you would argue that you shouldn't do it on the festival. But it could be that there is also an element of completion and happiness related to it as well. So Abai is basically resolving the contradiction by saying, yes, it's true that it is sad, a sad moment to reinter the bones, but not if you do it on the festival, because you just block it out by the fact that you're already in the happiness of the festival. Okay, Veloya Arer Almeto, the next section, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines from the bottom, and is a quotation from our Mishnah. You're not allowed to stir up people over the dead. That is, get them to, the Gemara will explain right now. My lo ya'arer al meto. What does it mean not to stir up people on the dead? Rav says, ka'ad hadar safdana b'ma'arava, when a safdana, which was a professional eulogizer, would go around b'ma'arava in Israel, and Amre, what he would say is, yivkon ime, cry with him. He would say, let them cry with him. Kol merire liba, all those who are bitter of heart. So his job was to get people to express their sadness, and he would sing things or say things and create. He would tug at their heartstrings so the people would cry. So you're not allowed to do this on the festival, because that is arousing sadness in people. Okay, next line from our Mishnah, Kodem HaRegel Shloshim Yom, 30 days before the festival. Maishna Shloshim Yom, why 30 days? Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, we say in the name of Rav, Ma'aseh Ba'adam Echad, Shekines Ma'ot La'alot HaRegel. A certain person gathered up some money, he saved up his money in order that he could go up to Jerusalem, La'alot HaRegel, and spend the holiday in Yerushalayim. That's Aliyah L'Regel. Uba Saftan, and then a certain eulogizer came, apparently in the month before the festival. Ve'amad al petach beto, and stood on near the doorway of his house. And this professional mourner, professional eulogizer, was getting people into a sad state of mind. Unetalatan ishto, so his wife was affected by this eulogizer. She took ve'natanatan lo, and she gave the money to him. V'nimna, and then he was stuck. V'lo Allah, and he wasn't able to go up to Yerushalayim because his wife had given the mourner a tip for his eulogizing. Ba'ota sha'a, at that time, Amru, they said, the rabbi said, lo ye'orer al meto v'lo yasbidenu. You may not arouse people on the dead by having these, you know, wandering eulogizers, and you may not eulogize people in general, kodem l'regel shloshim yom, before the holiday for 30 days. So it's not just this story. It can't just be just one story, but it must have been that this was a whole business, and that people felt that because it, you know, was, people feel strongly about mourning and Kaddish and their departed ones, that people were making choices in their money usage, and they were choosing to give money to these eulogizers instead of using their money to make Aliyah L'Regel, and the rabbis wanted to establish it as a priority that if people had the funds that they go up to Jerusalem instead of, you know, taking care of local expenses. So that's his opinion. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, and we now flip the page to Chet Amud Bet, we're on 8b. Shmuel says a different answer. Because the dead are not forgotten from the heart for 30 days. In other words, this sadness lingers for a while. it takes some time for it to work its way out. So if they are eulogizing them 30 days before the festival, some of the sadness will still linger into the festival. Now, it is interesting, they could have given a similar answer. Obviously, the Shloshim Yom relates to the idea that we prepare for the festival 30 days ahead. We say, Shalin v'dorshin behilchot chag, Shloshim Yom kodem chag, that we start to learn the laws of the festivals 30 days before. So it all perhaps could go together with the whole period of preparation for the festival, but it doesn't mention that here in the Gemara. Last question the Gemara asks at the end is my by Nihu, second line of 8b. What's the difference between these two opinions? The first opinion is that this was a gezeira, an edict that was made because people were spending their money on professional eulogizers. And the second reason was that it takes 30 days for the sadness to leave a person after he hears a good eulogy. So Ika by Nihu, there is a difference between them, Dika'avid Bechinam, if they do it for free. So it was possible that if you could still have eulogizers that were doing it, but they didn't take money, so then it wouldn't be an expense for people that would prevent them from making Aliyah L'Regel and would be permitted. But if the issue was that it aroused sadness in their hearts that didn't go away until even when the festival came, it would still be forbidden. That takes us up to our Mishnah on 8b. We'll stop there. Have a wonderful day.